This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Digital Desires. I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahmat.
I'm Vizla Kumarisen.
And this is the show that explores how screen culture is changing human interaction. We're going to talk about Tinder again today, but from the perspective of its female users. And joining us are Suraya and Rina. Welcome to the show. Before we start, maybe you can just explain to us your, how much of a quote-unquote active user you were so that our listeners can contextualize what you tell them.
Hi, I'm Rina. I was an active Tinder user 3 years ago. Active meaning I use it every day. Mm-hmm. I swipe it when I get back to work. Even during work, I swipe whenever I can. And then I was quite active in chatting with the guys mm-hmm. as well, interacting with them, meeting up with them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty active.
I'm Suraya. Similarly, I was there 3 years ago, very active every day, swipe every day, chat every day, open to the idea of going on dates, and have been on multiple dates. And then I took a break because I found someone and then got into a steady relationship. And then that ended. And then I was there late last year, actively again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And Suraya, you said you quote unquote found someone, means you started a relationship with someone, and you found this person on Tinder.
Yes, the one 3 years ago I found on Tinder, mm-hmm. and then recently I also had a bit of luck, and this one I found on OkCupid.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, to the extent that you can, tell us a little bit about why you chose to be active on Tinder, because I think there, especially in Malaysia, there's still some people who think that they're going to go on that to find somebody to be able to settle down with. Whereas I think over the past 5 years, Tinder's evolved to just become a hookup app. So how did you approach the app?
Goodness, my reasons is, I guess, quite unusual. The first time I got onto online dating was about 3 years ago. My friend was going through a rough time, was in the hospital a lot, and I was in the hospital a lot accompanying her. And as a result of that, I felt very sick, like 1 week bedridden sick. And I was also going through some stuff, and my friend was like, hey, just download Tinder and talk to people. And that's how I started, not to find love, not to find a hookup, just because I was sick and bedridden.
And you wanted to interact with people.
Yeah, well, more like I couldn't do anything in bed. And so it was like to pass time, but I was very pleasantly surprised. The reason why I didn't do it before was because I read all these online stories, right, about how it's a cesspool.
But cesspool of that beats dirty men. But anyway, go on.
Because I was pleasantly surprised, I stayed on and I interacted, made friends, found love, I guess, for a bit. Yeah. And then that didn't work out. You know, I dated that guy for 3 years and then we broke up. And then the second time I went back, it was to nurse a broken heart.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting that Tinder's become a lifestyle now, that people actually are using it often. They're updating because they offer features now. You can like update your Saturday, what you're doing Saturday night. You can form groups or whatever. So they're expanding to make it
almost like Instagram.
I think they're going to go there because there are all these other apps that are in the market too, right? Mm. So they want to place themselves at an advantage. Mm. So it's not unusual, especially around my age, mid-30s, if they're single still or whatever, they just say, you know, they're going to go on Tinder over the weekend or like meeting a Tinder friend or something, right?
Right, okay.
So the uses differ, but we also find that it's evolving to become a social option now. Yeah, social in the broader sense of the term,
right,
of course.
Yeah. Okay, yes. And Rina, do you want to share a little bit about your experience with Tinder?
Okay, so my experience was quite, I think, probably a bit depressing because I was in a relationship for quite a while and then I broke up with the guy and I found myself still not over the guy after 3 years. Mm. So I thought that one day I woke up and I'm like saying, like, what am I doing? Mm. So I thought of, okay, why not I just join a dating app? Because I usually, let's just say, I mean, because of my work, I don't usually meet guys, interesting guys. So it's a very important quality. So I thought dating app is Tinder specifically is a good avenue. And again, like Soraya, I was pleasantly surprised by the quality of guys there. I mean, their intentions aside, but their personalities are the guys that I met are quite. They're good quality men.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had quite a good experience on Tinder. I didn't meet a guy. I mean, I didn't find my love yet. But yeah, I mean, I've bonded with guys. I mean, friendship, and I'm still friends with some of them. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. But both of you had periods when at some point you stopped, right? So there's also Tinder fatigue, right? Because granted, they're nice people, but sometimes it plateaus. The kind of potential for connection plateaus at a certain level because they're swiping and talking to other people too, right? Rightly or wrongly, right? Yeah. So at what point did you feel like you needed a break?
Well, for me, the tipping point was when I met a guy I was really attracted to, and it turned out that he was engaged. So that kind of threw me off. So I decided, you know, like, I think I had enough with men at the moment. So
right. It wasn't just a Tinder thing, it was a man thing.
It was a man thing. Oh, no. Yeah. So, yeah.
But was that your first experience like that?
Yes, it was. Okay. Actually. Yeah, I mean, the guys that I met before, they were single. But this one was, yeah, he was in a relationship and then he was engaged to be married within like a couple months.
And now, was it something he disclosed to you? You found out on Facebook or what?
He disclosed that the fact that he was engaged during our first meet. Before that, he didn't reveal it. So I was asking, why didn't you tell me earlier? And he said, would you have met me if I told you? And I said, okay, I wouldn't have met you. So he said, you know, he wanted to meet me. So that's right. Why he kept that under wraps.
Soraya, what made you go on your break at some point?
I just found someone and I decided that, hey, I want to keep seeing just this person both times. Yeah. And yeah, didn't feel the need to talk to anyone else.
Yeah. Now, this is the other thing that we keep hearing about Tinder. Because you are behind a screen and you can curate your personality, you don't have to reveal everything. Right. And sometimes the biggest revelations happen sort of like by the by. So, by the way, I happen to have two kids, you know, something like that. So how's that been experience? I mean, some people like that because there's a lot of mystery and there's a lot of figuring out and the intrigue sort of moves. But some people find that like shystery. Like, this is kind of lame, you know, like we're adults, we should be upfront. I mean, what's the experience in terms of transparency? Like, does it allow for more transparency or does it allow for more hiding?
I feel like they sort of respond to my pace. I'm generally quite an open book. I try to have this like, hey, all cards on table. This is what it is. Because it's time, right? It's like math. If you take X seconds to swipe and X minutes to talk and X minutes to meet, let's all make sure that the match is as fruitful as possible. I mean, it doesn't have to end in marriage, but at least let's try to avoid boring dinners or like, I don't know. So yeah, so I try to be upfront, and then most of the time they are. I actually haven't really encountered a situation where I was unpleasantly surprised because I found out something. In fact, I see a lot of people who are like, I'm married, as in they disclose that they are married, and then they say, I'm here because I'm looking for a friends with benefits, or my wife is interested to look for a third, you know, person in this hookup, or yeah, whatever. So
interesting.
What about you, Rina?
So apart from the incident which I just told you guys about, mostly they're quite upfront about it. I think most of the guys that I've met are only they're interested in finding basically like a quote-unquote conversation partner. Just somebody to hang out, a cool girl to hang out with, you know, somebody they can reveal their weak side and without committing So I tend to get that kind of breed, I guess. So
they're a breed, yeah.
Yes. Thank you for agreeing. So I wouldn't say that I wasn't pre-warned or anything. Mm. So I could basically tell what they're interested in most of the time before I meet them. I would already know, kind of able to gauge. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So contrary to popular culture, Tinder seems to be fairly open, honest.
Sounds like a great place, actually.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. And they just tell you what they want and what they're looking for. And like your example, Soraya, basically what you put in is also what you get. If you're going to be honest, people are going to be honest with you.
I would say generally yes. And I also developed this hack. I think this hack might give away a little bit about who I am, or, you know, but it's okay. I'll take a risk. So what I do is I swipe relatively liberally. If your English is, you know, passable.
Legible, yeah.
Yeah. And you don't look like Hunchback of Notre Dame, right? Or it looks like you take a shower, I would generally swipe right. I mean, just because, look, I'm such an ardent believer in giving people a shot, right?
Yeah.
And being pleasantly surprised. And I don't like the idea of judging based on that picture, which takes up 3/4 of that screen. So I swipe right, and then you get this whole pool of men that matches with you. And then how do you filter for a best match given limited amount of time and resources? What I do is I ask them a question. Maybe I won't reveal that question.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ask them that thing.
It's like your algorithm. Like,
yeah, it's my algorithm. So that's another thing. Like, guys always say that, hey, women never say anything when match, let alone initiate. I am your rare unicorn, so I always initiate with a question. And what I found is that based on the few hundred men that I have matched with, you can kind of categorize them based on the response that come back. There's a bucket of clearly I'm here for sex. And then there's another bucket that is I'm not here for sex, but I'm not going to put in a lot of effort into this conversation. And then there's the bucket that tries a little bit more. And those, so then you cull 2/3 already. And then you know you have 1/3, and then you work with that 1/3.
Wow, you've got a system.
Yes, I have a system.
This is a show on its own, actually.
Yes.
The algorithm.
Yeah. But also, it also tells me that your experience of Tinder is also decided by your personality. Right?
Yes.
It's not Tinder itself.
It's not Tinder itself. It's you. Because I imagine someone with, who has a different worldview.
Yeah.
Who might have fewer chances or fewer opportunities or fewer matches.
Yes.
Because that's what they, how they have sort of mathed it out for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, apart from worldview is also, I guess, how you approach what you expect from it, what, you know, how much you want to put into it, and things like that.
But for you, you want to give as many people a chance as possible.
Yes.
Others might be more strict about it.
Yes. And by chance, I also look at it in a very liberal sense, right? It doesn't necessarily mean a chance to marriage, a chance to dating, or whatever. I didn't put a label on it.
How about you, Rina? Did you have a method, or was it just go as...
It was basically whether they subtractive or not. I just but then I would still look at because the guy would need to fill up a profile, right? So I would look at the effort that he puts in. At least say something. If you don't say something, at least look $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
So it's either or. So, but like Soraya, I do believe in giving people a chance. I usually, if he seems interesting, so I would just swipe. And then I do believe in initiating conversations as well, though I don't have a set question. I do believe in giving people... there's no strategy. I think that's more... That's my principle in life. I have no rules. I just do whatever I want. Okay. And yeah.
Sure, okay, sure. All right.
So Soraya, both of you initiate conversations. And do you feel... Because this is Like what you said, it goes against the conventional wisdom people have about how women behave in dates or whatever it is. Do you think this acts in your favor or against it?
To me, it's in favor because I feel a lot more in control. Mm. I felt very in control of my entire Tinder experience, which is why largely or nearly completely it's been positive. Sure, there are a bit like of like not so great stories here and there, but yeah, no, on the whole, I sure. And initiating also, I guess, reflects my personality. Like, I'm a go-getter. I take charge at home, in the office. Not take charge in that scary women, you know, whatever the stereotype is way. But I don't mind taking the lead or sharing the lead, right? Mm. So, and if you have a problem with that, then I guess you can sense it. And then, you know, we don't have to take it further.
Okay. Mm,
interesting stuff. Interesting. Let's take a break to hear some messages from our sponsors. But we'll be right back to talk more about Tinder from a female user's experience. I'm Ahmad Farah Rahmat alongside Vizla Kumarisan, joined this week by Rina and Suraya. And this is Digital Desires on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Digital Desires. I'm Ahmad Farah Rahmat alongside Vizla Kumarisan. And this is the show that explores how screen culture is changing human interaction. We have Suraya and Rina here, two Tinder users sharing their perspective on the app. In the first part of the show, we did some general overviews of how they approach it and their experience. But I do want you to try, to the extent you can, situate yourself in terms of how women in general experience it. Do you feel that, because like Vizla said, a lot of this reflects your personality. It feels like you're more confident or you're more open to taking risks and you're more robust in that sense. Whereas there are other narratives maybe where the pleasant is less promising, right? So to what extent do you feel, based on conversations we had with your friends, that are you the exception as to how women generally experience Tinder, or is what you went through basically par for the course?
Well, first of all, my circle of friends, they don't really use Tinder, so but the there was one, I have a close friend who used Tinder. She didn't have a good experience with it. Mm. I guess because, I mean, she's not conventionally pretty. Somehow local guys, I won't say local guys, tend to not give her the chance. Even though she has a bright personality, she puts everything, and then in her pictures, she reveals everything. I mean, she doesn't hide herself physically. But then she doesn't get matches because she doesn't conform to the stereotypical notion of beauty in our community, I guess. Mm. So I don't really have like other stories that I could share when it comes to my friends. But I do hear there was one girl, if you don't mind me sharing.
Sure.
Who used Tinder specifically to find a committed relationship. And then there was another girl, a mutual friend, who specifically wanted to find just a fling. Mm. And somehow they got, the role was reversed. They found, the girl who wanted a committed relationship found guys who wanted flings with her. And the girl who wanted flings found guys who actually wanted to commit to her. So I guess it varies. I don't know what guys actually look for when they what they see when they look at these girls. So I guess it depends.
I feel like I haven't spoken to enough women Tinder users to be able to generalize what their experience is like, but if I would take a wild guess, I would say that mine is an exception because not many people approach Tinder with, you know, an algorithm and a way to filter and a way to reach maximum efficiency given. Yeah, so, but I would say that there's one thing that I think might resonate or I have in common with other users, which is safety. No matter how much I try to control my experience, do research beforehand, and I never truly felt safe, no matter how much I liked the guy or no matter how decent he seemed to be or no matter how checked out his social media profile seemed to be. Mm. And while so far nothing has happened to me, and I guess therefore some might say that I didn't have anything to worry about, but that isn't true until it has come to pass, that date, right? Mm. So every time I go on a date, I screenshot that guy's picture, I screenshot his social media, and I send it to a couple of people, and I said that if I don't text you by a certain time, you should call me, and if you don't get through, I think you should be worried.
Okay. This safety concern, was that peculiar to the dates you were going, you met on Tinder, or was it just general, that's what you do when you go on any date?
Well, when I go on dates with guys I met online, I generally know them or their background, or we've known each other a little bit more, or we have friends of friends, right? So it's not a complete stranger. So yes, I guess this is what I do when I'm meeting complete strangers for the first time.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that feeling never really goes away for many women. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately we all have to cope with or live with.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about it in one of our safety shows as well. We did recommend that.
Yeah. I also up the safety measures by disclosing that to the guys that I meet. But I try to, you know, keep it light and like, hey, you know, we are strangers, just so you know, all my friends have your picture. So, you know, they know where I am. So I hope to go home safe tonight. And I hope you go home safe tonight. So, yep. And then, yeah, they normally laugh it off and say that they understand. And yeah.
You also obviously have a sense of humor that helps you deal with a lot of these things as well.
Yeah. I think the main lesson here is that it's good to know what you're doing.
I think
Rina and Soraya, they do, right? When they do, it's like they know what kind of person they are and why they're swiping a certain way and sort of, you know, when and how to initiate conversations rather than going in blind and, you know, being caught unaware every turn, you know? So story time. Any interesting stories? Good ones, you know, doesn't matter, but what were some of the things that stand out, you know, from your experience?
Okay, I can tell one because Rina is looking at me. So I think that of the many, many matches, many, many conversations and so many dates that I've been on, one thing struck out to me. I believe in this theory that the better looking you are, the less attractive your personality generally is. Huh. Not a rule, but like, there are exceptions, but it's quite a fair rule, right? And why I have this theory is because if you're good looking, a lot of things often come a little bit easier to you in life. So if there's a row of 10 men and I have nothing to judge by other than your face, then, you know, you get picked more just because you look better. And so you don't have to be as funny. You are already picked. And so that spills over. It compounds in your lifetime, especially if you were good looking as a kid as opposed to a late bloomer. And so you work less hard with your personality because you don't have to compensate. It's like, 100 points for looks. And in fact, sometimes there's... I think Barney Stinson had that hotness scale, right? Which is you tolerate a girl's craziness more if she was hot. So this is this is similar in men, for men as well, I guess. Yeah, so my Tinder story is that I had a date with someone who won Manhunt.
Manhunt is?
It's not local, I think, but basically it's like... bodybuilding.
Wow.
Or like a guy version of a beauty pageant.
Oh, congratulations,
Soraya. He is easily one of the best looking guys I've ever seen up close or dated, but he was really not very exciting. I'm trying to find a kind word, but and that was my takeaway, you know, that I really would give a lot to have a guy that is funny and intelligent, and I'm so cliched, but it's true. Because if you're good looking then and nothing else, then you kind of like a vase, right? You sit there and look pretty.
Okay. So tell us a good story now.
The good story is that this is my takeaway from Tinder.
Right.
That if you're good looking, then you don't really... Yeah.
Does that work in reverse though? Because I'm thinking out loud, maybe too loud on radio. Because I'm... you know, I've never heard a guy complain that, like, if she's attractive, therefore she has no personality. It's not really a common complaint either. I don't know. Well, men don't look for personality. I don't know.
But. I have heard that.
Right.
You know, I it's not common, and maybe people are a bit more careful when saying it to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have heard men say that.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Yes. And of course, this the popular culture, Barney Stinson, that all people become Barney Stinson, and then they say these things that Barney Stinson says as well.
Right. Right. Interesting. Interesting. Rina?
Well, okay, this might be a kind of a reckless tale. I remember using Tinder. This is my second attempt on Tinder late last year. And at this time, they introduced this new feature, which is super like. So,
like and then super like.
Yes, super like. So I super liked this guy, and then he was completely suspicious of me. He was like, "Why did you super like me? Did you do it? Like, was it accidental?" And he was completely suspicious, and I was like, and he was saying there must be something wrong with you. He was completely, his balance. I threw him off balance. So I was just talking to him, and then we kind of clicked. I think it happened, let's just say it was on a Saturday morning. We talked back and forth, and then he said that he was in KL, and then he said, "Why don't we meet up?" And I said, "Why not?" So it was just within like a couple of hours of conversation, we exchanged numbers, and then we basically met up. And then even during, I actually picked him up somewhere, and then we went somewhere to a restaurant. And then both of us were quite suspicious of each other still. You know, what are we doing? You know, he was like, he got into my car, he was like saying, you know, am I safe right now? So, but then we got along fine. It was really good. And then we're still friends right now. Both of us are completely legit.
Legit?
Legit? What do you mean legit?
Meaning that we're both alive. So basically,
So neither of you is like a serial killer.
Yeah,
something.
Neither of us. Yeah.
Well, we can't really check, can we? But anyway,
so far, the man still alive. I survived the day. So I mean, I touch wood. I pride myself with being like a good judge of character. Somehow, I'm quite sensible. Even though it might sound reckless. But you know, sometimes you get the feeling that you know this person is genuine,
mm-hmm.
And then as long as you put in, as long as you know you meet this person in a public place, daytime, you know, daylight. So as long as you put those things in place, I think it should be fine. And then see, I got an interesting friend. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So obviously, safety is a huge issue, and any Tinder user, irrespective of gender, should take these things into consideration.
Yeah, definitely,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
What kinds of stigma or weird looks or weird reactions do you get from friends or family when they know that you go on Tinder regularly?
They would think that somebody who opts for a dating app, they're a bit desperate.
Mm.
Mm.
So I get that. I mean, being Malay, I think... they would think that, you know, are you desperate to get married, to find a partner? For me, my family doesn't know that I'm on Tinder. I mean, I was on Tinder. So I think probably I'm probably worried to reveal that fact, because they generally don't know much about Tinder. But the fact that it's a dating app, they would be a bit suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a stigma that I get.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what about you, Soraya? Especially because you actually met someone while on Tinder. Did you get strange looks when you told people how you met?
A little bit, because I guess a lot of people think that Tinder is for one night stands, and a lot of people are skeptical that you find love there, or at least someone that you want to seriously date. So that's one. And the second thing is, I guess they always is the wrong word, but some people might think that you are somewhat a little bit defective, because it's like, if you're not, there's nothing wrong with you. Why haven't you found anyone in an organic way? So there was a little bit of that, especially when I started in 2014, and then I started dating someone in a stable way in 2015. I felt really uncomfortable telling people that we met on Tinder, but I did. And then responses are like, oh, okay, cool. But I don't know. It feels like there's unspoken things when I tell people that. But things are better now, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the both of you, what is the dating experience like? What I mean is this. When we did the show on Tinder Confessions, Dachna said that one of the usual stories he gets is that people aren't very... Malaysians are very conservative, and they don't understand what dating is like, and they're very scared to do things.
And the other detail that I find interesting that he brought up that we haven't heard yet is that a lot of men don't know what to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love this question. So okay. I also have a formula for my dates. I really tried to set, you know, my dates up for success because I really want it to work. I mean, even in a friendship or like a good time tonight sort of way. So what I do is I normally tell them up front, like, hey, you know, like, I'm happy to go Dutch, and why don't you pick dinner and I'll pick dessert. And then... So, yeah, and then I tell them where I am, like my office or where I'm want to be area-wise, and then they do that. And so it narrows the thing a lot for them. And mm-hmm. I try to leave a lot of guesswork out for the guys because it's so hard. I think guys try so hard sometimes, and, you know, like I'm trying to...
And
yeah,
you also lay out the rules.
Them.
So
well, I don't call them rules, but more like...
Guidelines,
suggestions,
hints.
Yeah, I help them along.
So when the bill comes, you're not like... arguing or who should pay, or there's no unspoken expectation that...
For me, I like letting them know that there's no expectation that they pay. So if you want to offer, I'm not going to do the check dance and fight it. But if you want to do Dutch, more than happy. And yeah, in fact, I expect that we go Dutch. So they pick dinner and I meet them wherever that is. And then dessert is always... ice cream at this hill behind my house, because that way I sort of figure my transport home. Also, I'm in like a neighborhood that I know, and so
you know also how you're gonna end the date.
Yeah,
safely.
And I know how I'm gonna end the date.
Do you tell them your house is nearby?
No, never. And unless by the end of the night I feel like okay, they are safe, or I trust them enough to get them to drop me. Then I'll be like, hey, could you draw me? I just live nearby. But otherwise, then I'll order a Grab from that hill.
Okay.
Which has never happened.
So, is there anything particular that would start the alarm bells ringing? This is the question for both of you.
Yeah, I think if he, you know, if... Sometimes you can tell when a person is being sketchy. Mm. You know, like you ask him questions, he's like avoiding answering. I mean, okay, so far, because I've not had any such situations. Usually, if they're hiding something, they would actually tell me up front. I mean, during the date. But probably, so far, no such experiences, I guess.
I think my flags are if they don't respect personal boundaries. So, I mean, if you say hello and you give me a hug, sure, you know, that's normal, right? But if you're sitting unusually close or touching me... at places where, I don't know, where you wouldn't touch someone that you've just met.
Yeah.
Or if you only talk about sex or what you like in sex, what you don't like in sex, or, you know, then it kind of tells me where your mind is at.
Mm.
Yeah.
Comment a little bit about KL as a small town that it is, right? In a sense where if you're a Tinder user in New York where there's 20 million people, or Delhi where there's 30 million people, chances of you not being noticed or swiping the same person again, because sometimes what I was told is that they recycle these people because they're not that many people, right? I mean, and everybody sort of knows each other somehow, you know, friends of friends on Facebook. I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's definitely, for me, my experience, I've not met any guys who have mutual friends with me, and that so in that sense, I don't think that KL is such a small city, based on my experience, and that is good. Sometimes it's good to have mutual friends, as in from a safety perspective. But for me, the less we know of, you know, people, the better it is for me. Yeah.
I'm not too fussed either way. If it's a stranger, then, you know. cool, interesting, tell me a story, tell me a background. If it's someone that has shared experiences with me or mutual friends, then I call it out. Hey, you know that person too. How do you know that person? And, you know, or sometimes I meet people or I see people on Tinder that are my friends. And then that also, I'll be like, hey, you're on Tinder too. But I experience it a lot, like 3 degrees of separation all the time.
Yeah. So then it really comes back down to how you feel about it and how comfortable you are about it.
Or how gregarious you want to be, right, on that thing.
Or also how open you are about the fact that you are on Tinder and looking for dates, right? Because obviously if you didn't want people to know, then you'll be a lot more uncomfortable with the fact that KL is very small.
Yeah. This is a problem for dating in general, not necessarily on Tinder, right? I mean, because like you said, especially of a certain age or certain preferences, you know, KL is a small town. Anyway, we have to wrap up soon. So any concluding thoughts for our listeners who are using Tinder, how they can have a better time on it? Anything that you want to end the show with?
Keep an open mind. Give that slightly less attractive guy a chance. But you should know what you want exactly first. I mean, of course, I'm all about experimenting, but go into it with a specific, not to say a specific goal, but just know what you want and then give people a chance.
Yeah. Oh, what a coincidence. I have a very similar message, which is that I think people, you know, we want similar things at the end of the day. And I think that life is really hard, you know, there's work challenges, family challenges, love challenges, all this baggage and stuff. And everyone is on Tinder because they're trying to fill some hole in their heart or, you know, elsewhere. But I think we should be kind, you know. Everyone should be kind. Like, girls, women should be kind to men. At the same time, men should also be kind to women, I guess, even if they're not so conventionally good-looking, and be kind.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the show and for sharing your experiences and being so open about it.
Yeah. Email the show if you have any questions or comments. It's biggerpicture@bfm.my. Follow us on Twitter as well as BFM Radio. Thanks again, Rina and Soraya, for sharing your thoughts, experiences, and advice. I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahmat alongside Vizla Kumarisan, and this is Digital Desires on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.